Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Okay then, everyone. Good morning and a very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which, as you know, is our opportunity to do our analysis and be prepared for today's trading opportunities, whatever comes our way. As we've been discussing all week, the main focus of this week is really around US job numbers. And there's a huge amount of uncertainty around it. And partially some of it is to do with the political dynamic in US job numbers, where the Trump administration got rid of the BLS chief and replaced it with a new guy. And you know, there is a high degree of skepticism, you'd have to say, in terms of what we're going to get from the BLS today, tomorrow, with non-farm payroll numbers. And that's causing a little bit of a concern because the Fed are paused, ready to actually start cutting rates. The only problem is it really does need weaker US job numbers to be able to do it. So we've got a huge amount of uncertainty around these US job numbers. It was always likely to be the case this week, and it's actually proved to be the case. And on Tuesday, we had a bit of a coherent risk-off move across the markets. We were quite comfortable to get into a couple of little trades. We're actually still in one of them. The other one with the S&P, we still have... I mean, let's just say we mitigated risk on the trade. We still probably have a little short-term bias. It is going to largely depend on these job numbers. And we got a little bit of a glimpse at JOLTS job openings yesterday. And the number wasn't really a number that was likely to move the dial to any significant extent. And that's the way it proved. So let's get into it. Let's break this down for you. And we're really looking for those high probability trading opportunities. And we spent a little bit of time this week talking about gold and oil. And those, unfortunately, were the markets where we saw the biggest moves. And I mean, not huge moves, but some move. Elsewhere, there's a big question mark hanging over the price action and the potential direction. However, a lot of this is very likely to become clearer a little bit more today and tomorrow. So it's important that you're aware of these events as a result of being able to identify high probability trades as and when they come by. So yeah, good morning, everyone. Welcome. So we'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. As always, be mindful of the risks involved in trading these markets. Okay, so just as a quick introduction then, all profitable traders need to consider, make some decisions around what markets to trade. And more importantly, why are we trading those particular markets? That's where this session comes in nicely. It's really about our ability to plan for these opportunities. Then it's about your execution. Where do we then enter and exit those markets? That's your trading strategy, you could say. However, there's a lot more to trading markets than just your ability to get in and out. You know, are you considering managing your risk, making sure you control your exposure from the outset? As we keep referring to, a stop loss for us is the point at which we no longer want to be in the trade. That's what it effectively means. And if you can mitigate risk to an extent, and if prices move in your favor, like the S&P 500 trade this week is quite a good example of a level that shifted in our favor. And as a result, we wanted to mitigate risk in the trade because there is no point being in certain markets once we get certain price moves. So risk management, very, very important. Trade management, which we've been talking about over the last quarter in our financial trading mentorship program, those of you that are on that, about your ability to manage that process between entry and exit. So that's trade management, along with trading psychology, all very important features, of course. Each one of these can have a pretty detrimental impact on your P&L. And these are the things, of course, that we address every day in our live trade rooms. From a very practical perspective, of course, this is an environment in which you can learn how to trade. And we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our own capital, and be patient. And we just recommend you guys to follow a similar path, let's say. Okay, so let's start then with a review of market moving news. So this is really, I suppose, the main focus of these markets is really US job numbers. It's really hard to get away from it. Monday, bank holiday in North America. Tuesday, not really a huge amount. Pretty subdued European inflation numbers, which is pretty much in line with expectations. Manufacturing numbers coming in weaker in the US than what was expected. So you're getting, with some of the softer data points, you're getting a little bit of kind of weakness underpinning these markets. It's been like that for quite some time. The hard data is pretty strong. The soft data is pretty weak. So you're constantly sort of, you're basically on alert to really go one way or the other. And we're just sort of in between two pitches at the moment. On Wednesday, which was obviously yesterday, we were talking a lot about JOLT job openings. And it coming in around 7.18, 20,000 jobs less than what the market was expecting. Not a massive deviation. We said, we were kind of saying if it was coming in around 7.4 million JOLT job openings, it'll be fine. There's a bit of room to the upside, bit of room to the downside. And I suppose we're just at a lower level. So really, if we were below 7 million, that would probably be a significant difference. JOLT jobs, if we happen to get a remarkably strong number coming in 7.6, 7.7, 7.8, something like that, then the market might react accordingly. When we got 7.18, we kind of looked at the number and thought, not really, doesn't really change an awful lot, to be honest. So beige book in there as well, not to be, it doesn't really have a significant feature. It's not like the market is going to react aggressively either way. But this is a kind of a report really that comes out 8 times a year, 2 weeks before each FOMC. So the FOMC use this beige book to discuss. And I suppose what it is just a kind of a brief summary is, and some of these headlines are quite useful. So beige book shows little or no growth across most of US. So you get these underlying data points, and the beige book is quite a good example where you're seeing limited growth, and then you're seeing slightly more concerning upside moves in inflation, and you're seeing, you know, weakness from a consumer in the US. Now, this is the beige book. This is the report, and Fed policy can lean into it. So, you know, if you look underneath the bonnet for the economy, specifically the US economy, and look, the US economy has been the significant outperformer for quite some time now. Other economies, UK, European, you know, really quite struggling on that growth front as well. And now it looks like the US economy is falling into it. Except when you look at the headline numbers. And there's a lot of debate about these headline numbers as to about how reliable we can, you know, we've got major problems with non-farm payroll numbers, how they accumulate the data, how it's published, all the revisions that we've seen over the last number of months. And what it does is it just gives you a mixed picture because the job numbers, when they're released, seem to be a lot higher than the revisions. So there is an inconsistency. As a result, Trump fired the head of the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Stats in the US, and we've got a new chief in there now. So the concern is that this number's going to come in positive because we've got a new BLS chief, not because the numbers are actually... So are they manipulated? We probably think they are. How much they're manipulated is a very, very difficult one to call because you'll just hear the BLS just sort of blame the surveys and say, look, it's just the respondents and they're not getting back and they're not, you know, we've got little gaps in the data. So it was a system and a function that worked quite well prior to COVID. You know, we used to get fairly reliable non-farm payroll numbers consistently. And then for whatever reason, COVID kind of blew things up. And all of a sudden, we couldn't really collate the data properly. And we're now at the end of that sort of process. What they can do to fix it, have no idea. If this comes in really weak, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what Donald Trump's reaction is. But this is the reality of these markets. We're now looking at ADP. 73,000 private sector jobs are expected. I suppose that number just means that the wheels don't come off completely. You've had a bit of a negative number in July, wasn't it? We were expecting a positive number, and then we get this sort of bounce back reaction. So 73 is a bit of a sort of a nothing number. It's not as strong as previous numbers. It's not as bad as some of the numbers in July. So is it good or bad? It's probably just middle of the road. So just to try and make this clear, because it can be a little bit on the confusing side, but the two narratives we're looking at when it comes to US job numbers is the impact that it's likely to have on the Fed. So let's say we get really, really strong job numbers, and I'm talking about if we get 100,000 jobs plus added today and tomorrow with non-farm payroll, you know, you would have to say that the Fed would struggle to cut rates. And let's say it comes in even stronger, they'd struggle even more to cut rates. Because the Fed have been looking at the numbers over the last 3 months and they can see the revisions, the way that these numbers have been revised down. If I just share the chart with you in terms of tomorrow's non-farm payroll numbers, which is the big one. The ADP, it's not a particularly important one. And look, these are the numbers as they released. They've been revised down very, very aggressively, averaging about, I think it's about 32 or 35,000, somewhere down at these levels over the last 3 months. And that's therein lies the problems, the difference between the headline numbers as they're released versus the revisions, which give a completely different view of the US economy. And of course, if less people are employed, less people have jobs, less jobs available, more people on the unemployment claims number, and that's pretty solid as well, 230 expecting. I mean, that's pretty strong. Then you'd have to, if we get stronger job numbers than we would expect, you'd have to say the Fed are probably likely to struggle to start cutting because they're only talking about cuts because of the jobs market. Let's say we get weak numbers. Let's say we get, you know, a negative number out of ADP. That would certainly set the cat amongst the pigeons. That would certainly disrupt market flows, market dynamics, and something to be very much mindful of. And we've been talking about this all week. We're now a few days into, I suppose, normal market conditions. It's bank holiday on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday, these markets are kind of settling in. We had a bit of a move on Tuesday. It kind of retraced, didn't really do an awful lot. And we're just really waiting for these job numbers. And as a result, we need to be mindful of the potential outcome depending on the number. So look, we'll be broadcasting this afternoon, of course, for ADP and unemployment claims. And it is, we would anticipate, likely to be a really significant event. More so tomorrow, less so today. However, it will give you a really decent indication in terms of how volatile the market might be around this event. Now, if we get 73,000 jobs and 230, that still implies we kind of have quite a strong jobs market. So how much do we benefit from that? Really not too sure. Wouldn't expect the markets to, maybe a little bit of volatility, but probably a little bit more sideways, a bit more up and down, less clarity. And that would be, that would probably how we'd expect this to play out. ISM services PMIs just pretty flat around 50, maybe 51. Just it implies expansion, but very, very tight. So there seems to be a slowing with the US economy. That would be a bit of a problem. However, some of the hard data is still looking pretty resilient. So more of a significant look at market fundamentals, because that is the important player for these markets. And I suppose we'll come on to the commodities in just a moment, because they're a different breed, the moves that we've seen in the commodity markets. So elsewhere, what I'd like to draw your attention to, and these are some of the largest markets out there. Let's remove all of these from the screen. We still have, if I zoom out on the S&P 500, we're now out of the trade. We got in on this little breakout on Tuesday, had a good strong rally. We were 10 points away from booking in profit on the trade. It bounced back, which is what you'd expect. And then we started to see a series of structural failure trades. However, it's grinding, isn't it? It's not particularly, there's very, very little clarity here. And what we had was our resistance levels just in and around this little zone here. And we are currently above these levels. Will we achieve new all-time highs? Well, that's going to really depend. There's probably a little bit of a structure in there as well. So one of the biggest moves, as you can see, is in US oil. Now, we were procrastinating a little bit on an ongoing basis yesterday because the equity markets were kind of looking really strong. This is a little bit more of a move to the expectations that the OPEC Plus are going to continue to increase supply. And as a result, we saw quite a sharp rally to the downside. We said if this market pulls back, we will certainly consider an opportunity around $65. That's pretty much what happened, and it's just overnight, it's just accelerated lower. So unfortunately, that's been a little bit of a missed opportunity. I suppose like really gold, which actually kicked in last week while we were on our summer break, this was the breakout here around 3,400. We kind of rallied up to 3,550, really sizable move. I don't know why we can't see that here. Oh yeah, sorry, this is why. Let me move that along. Okay, so this was the kind of the breakout last week, the 3,400, good strong rally, 3,570. We had a bit of a pullback overnight, and we'd be looking for that sort of pullback opportunity. Same thing with US oil. If we get a little bit of a pullback, the price action is a little bit choppy. It's a little bit volatile in terms of bouncing higher, and then it just sold off just as quick. So let me just put up support and resistance levels from a technical perspective. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 day highs just sitting in here, meaning if we break above these 4 day highs, we're probably rallying higher. However, it's kind of a not particularly clear cut. And I mean, what we're still in the NASDAQ, the New Zealand dollar trade, should I say. So those are our momentum levels to the upside, our resistance, and these are our support. So really, support levels down at these lows. You've got a multi-day low down here. And you'd have to take current lows as potential support. And if we get in on a bit of a pullback, I mean, we still quite like the sell trade. And yeah, we've got slightly higher. The 34.50 really is back here. Could we get a little bit of a pullback in there? If so, we can take the trade. New Zealand dollar, if we break below the two-day low yesterday and Tuesday's low, our expectation will be for further continuation. And you can see the consolidating moves really across most of these markets. When it comes to equities and it comes to commodity markets, not a great view. What would be our bias? We're still at this moment in time, probably leaning a little bit more into potential bit of weakness. There's probably a bit of a better case for some indice weakness, probably some dollar strength if eventually we start to roll back over. So we can stick with the New Zealand dollar, and we want a bit of a pullback. Sorry, let me change that. So the bias is very much to the downside. So a bit of a pullback then, and maybe we can start to sell markets like US oil. And last but not least, when it comes to gold, we're looking for that pullback opportunity to try and take that opportunity higher. So when it comes to commodities, we've missed the breakout really on both cases. We're now looking for a bit of a pullback, not really wanting to buy extended highs and lows. Wait for that pullback. We're very likely to get another opportunity. That's generally the case, but we will see what happens on this basis. And don't forget today's job numbers. So if you're a bit hesitant, if you've got a bit of hesitation with these markets, it's perfectly understandable. With US job numbers that are looking precarious there, we're probably going to get slightly weaker job numbers, but how can anyone predict what we're likely to get? Just no idea whatsoever. So let's wait until we get the numbers. We'll be able to position ourselves, hopefully, in these markets. And these are only directional biases. This is what we'd like to see happen. Right. On that note, we've got a kind of a wait and see phase. So let's just amend this our today's trade plan. We'll post it into the chat box to try and keep you guys on the straight and narrow, but just be very, very mindful that there's a slightly mixed market dynamic as we await US job numbers, And that's really starting today with ADP. All right, so so we were sort of advocates of gold rallying. That's pretty much what we saw. Potential oil sell trade below 66. We had a bit of a problem in getting in around $66. The level actually became $65, which is a little bit lower. And we've had a really strong move lower in that. So between gold and oil, we kind of had them in our sights. We're trying to get back to some sort of normality when it comes to trading markets. So actually, in reality, a couple of missed opportunities there for us, which is a bit of a shame. Now, okay, this is the reality of our positioning this at this time. We basically want to keep all options open going into US job numbers. If they're positive, we're likely to get a good market response. If they're negative, we're still likely to get a pretty decent market response, and we're going to try and position ourselves accordingly, because it's a little bit on the counterintuitive side. So I'm going to post this into the chat box. Not huge clarity, because these ADP numbers could be quite impactful. And this is what we're going to just discuss this morning, see if there's opportunities and discuss the various different options around these job numbers, which we'll be available for later on today. Okay, so listen, on that note, Tuesday we had a bit of a strong, coherent risk-off trade. Monday and Wednesday, a little bit of nothing apart from the commodities. And I'd probably like to say, if we were, you know, 4 or 5 days into trading some September markets, that we would probably be a little bit more proactive. We're getting equity markets rallying higher. There's a little bit of indecision around the dollar, limited clarity. The whole market's really waiting for these US job numbers. So that's what we're going to do as well. And try to wait for those really good, strong, high probability trades. So, look, that's where we're at. On that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us as always. Do take care of yourselves. And prepare yourselves for some potentially interesting moves now, today and tomorrow, and next week, and on an ongoing basis. I think it's inflation numbers next week. So we'll get into these opportunities as and when they arise. So really, for now, a bit of patience really, really helps. You can get into sideways moving markets. They're not particularly productive trades. You might have a winner, you might have a loser. Let's wait to try and step the odds in our favor a little bit more than just getting into sort of lesser quality opportunities. Great stuff. On that note, guys, this is my pleasure as always. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next time. And those of you that are joining us for the European trading session, we'll be broadcasting there in about a minute's time. So we'll see you there very, very shortly. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.